If you join me tonight in the book of Zechariah, and we're going to be in chapter 7, Zechariah chapter 7, and I'd like to read verses 4 through 7. Now, when a couple of weeks ago, when we started this chapter, we read this passage, made a few comments, and I was so thankful for our speaker last Tuesday, Brother Wayne. Remember him in prayer? I was blessed by his message, and he was so thankful to be here. And just continue to remember him in prayer. But here we are in the book of Zechariah chapter 7. There's a couple of incidents that are mentioned here specifically by month, the fifth month and the seventh month. In the book of Zechariah chapter 7, it says, "Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying," and in this book we have found a great number of times the Lord has addressed himself to us as hearers, and to Zechariah as a writer, as Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of the armies of heaven. He is Almighty God. And that's who we need to remember, who is speaking in this book. And then it says, "Speak unto all the people of the land, and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even these 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even unto me?" And verse 6, "And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did ye not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets, when Jerusalem was inhabited in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain?" Turn with me back to this passage of Scripture, verse 5, if you would. In verse 5, we have these two separate months mentioned. And it's interesting to note that these months are mentioned, as we brought out last week, we'd like to spend a little more time on them. As these two months were mentioned, there was a time that we find that those who were fasting were mourning, and there was a time that these that were fasting were celebratory. They were celebrating something. And we went back to the book of 2 Kings. So would you go back to the book of 2 Kings with me? In 2 Kings chapter 25, we find here the reason that they had fasting and mourning in the fifth month. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 25. And the Lord brings out through this prophet Zechariah, says, when you were doing this, you were really only doing it to yourselves. You were only fasting to yourselves. You were only mourning to yourselves because you were paying no attention. God never asked them to do that. God never prescribed that they mourn for those 70 years, the fifth month, when Jerusalem was destroyed, because the reason Jerusalem was destroyed was their disobedience. And the temple was destroyed was because of their disobedience. It was not a time of mourning over it. It was a time of mourning over their sin. It was a time of mourning over their attitude. So here in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 25, and there verse 8, 9, and 10. 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8, it says, "And in the fifth month, and on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of the king Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, the servant of the king of Babylon, to Jerusalem, and he burnt the house." Now, by whose authority? By Nebuchadnezzar's authority. By whose permission? God's. God granted the permission. He purposed it to take place. And it's on this specific month, the fifth month, and he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem and every great man's house burnt he with fire. So he is there by direct command of Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar could not have done this if he had not been given permission by God. Just as we find Satan was used on Job, but by permission of God. Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked king, a terrible king, was given permission to go and destroy the temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem and to burn the city, the temple, and all the houses of important people that lived there. Who would they be? Priests and prophets who had lied on God. That's what happened there. So we have the fifth month. And it turns out that during those 70 years, every time, and it wasn't the month of May to them, but to us, the month of May comes around, well, we're going to have a great fast because it's this time of year, 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 69 years ago, 70 years ago, that our temple was burned. Well, they could care less about that temple when they were there. They could care less about the service of God when they were there. But now, as we find that they would kill the prophets and then build a beautiful headstone over them or a sarcophagus about them. You'd kill the prophets and then honor them today, and that just continues to go on. Well, and then we find in the seventh month, in that same chapter, verse 21. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar got a viceroy, someone to rule Jerusalem and that area, and he was a Jew. Now, he's much like a publican. He's not very much liked. And so we're going to have a celebration the seventh month because during that time, we have a man that was the viceroy sent by Nebuchadnezzar to rule over that area is assassinated. So here in the book of 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 21, and the king of Babylon smote them and slew them at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried away out of their land. Ooh. Judah is carried away. Now it's interesting that Israel, the 10 tribes, are already gone. They have been dispersed. They're no longer a player in this. And the only reason Judah and Benjamin are still in existence is that through Judah, the Messiah will be born.
Amen.
They are going to be set aside in Babylonian captivity for 70 years, and that's the group that comes back, or the descendants of that group, come back to Jerusalem under Zechariah the prophet. And that's who he's been speaking to there in Jerusalem and saying, while you were gone, those 70 years, you had a fast in the fifth month and the seventh month, and really, you were just doing it for religious purposes, doing it for self-righteous purposes, because God never authorized any of that stuff to go on. It goes on to tell us here in verse 22 of the 25th chapter of 2 Kings, and as for the people that remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, even over them he had Gedaliah, the son of Ahiakim, the son of Zaphon, ruler. And when all the captains of the armies, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, there came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael, the son of Nathaniel, and Johanan, the son of Kariah, and Zerahiah, the son of Tanhumath, the Nethothite, and Jaazaniah, the son of a Machathite, they and their men, and Gedaliah swear to them and to their men, and said unto them, "Fear not." Listen to this. This just sounds like a bunch of folks there in Galatia. We're here to do thee good. We are here to spread the nonsense about you must be circumcised, but we're here to do you good. And he says, "Fear not to be the servants of the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you." Who's the king of Babylon? He is a nasty guy. Now, I really appreciate the Lord working on him at least to come out with that confession about God there in Daniel. When God turned him out like an animal, if you please, and his hair grew like feathers and his nails grew like claws, and at the end of that time, God allowed him to come to some sense at least and confess about God Almighty. None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Thou rule in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay your hand or say, what are you doing? Can the clay tell the potter? That is essentially what this man is saying. Now, I appreciate what he said over here, but here, he will do thee well. And it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nathaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, came, and 10 men with him, and smote Gedaliah, that he died, and the Jews and the Chaldees that were with him at Mizpah, and all the people, both great and small, and the captains of the armies arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldeans. What's going to happen to us now? Well, that's why they're celebrating or having a fast, a celebratory fast, on the seventh month. Now, God brings us back, their history back to themselves. He brings that burning of the temple in the city of Jerusalem, all of those houses, back to them. And he also brings this murder of this man back to them, thinking they were doing good. And God had not authorized any of it. The 2 months had the special note among the Jews of the Babylonian captivity. They had these celebrations going on. Celebrations in the sense of a fast. And we find out what God had to say about fast in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. Nothing is as religious as a fast, almsgiving, or prayers. Loud prayers on the street corners, people being told what they did as their almsgiving, or fasting and smearing ashes or flour all over your face and letting everybody know about it. Well, God never authorized this. And we find that this is such a symbol, as God brings out through Zechariah, you were only doing it for yourself. You were only worshiping for yourself. You were only fasting for yourself. Was it really for me you were fasting? God asked. Was it really for me you were fasting? And there in verse 6 of Zechariah chapter 7, aren't you eating and drinking just to please yourselves? Let's go over there and look at that. Again, it's the book of Zechariah chapter 7, verse 5 and 6. It says there, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th month, even though 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me? Did you ever think of me? No. Religion does not think of the real God, the true God. Gods come into play, yes, but the true God, never. And then in verse 6 it says, and when you did eat, and when you did drink, did you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? That's the only reason you did it. You had these special days. You had the honor of these special days, but they really meant nothing. Merely and only for your own refreshment and pleasure, and not for the glory of God. These were never for the glory of God. That was for their own pleasure, for their own. Oh, today. Have you ever known anybody so historical that they, 10 years ago today, I had, 15 years ago today, I had. I like celebrations of history. Every January I say, we've been in this building this many years. I'm thankful. But this, we don't celebrate. Well, 20 years ago, Jesus died on the cross. It's not the day. It's never been the day. Whatever you do, whether you therefore eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, religious people soon turn to worshiping only shadows of Christ and his ministry. Only shadows. Days become important. I was told one time that if I didn't worship on the Sabbath, on Saturday, I was going to hell. Well, I said, show me in the book. Show me in the book. The reason people go to hell is they are sinners and without Christ. Now the Christian Sabbath. I get an email from a guy that talks about the Christian Sabbath. We don't have a Christian Sabbath. We have a day that we meet together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we better be doing it on Monday too. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My friends, if you pray and sincerely pray in your closets, you're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he is the only reason that we can pray and expect something to be done. He is the one that wills and purposes all things to be done. Do you remember the days when you traveled on Sunday and you came to a town and you just had to go to church? Didn't matter where you went, but you had to go. Well, didn't matter. Now, Christ is our Sabbath.
Amen.
That is established in the scriptures. That's the reason God rested on the seventh day. That's the reason God gave them the Sabbath. That's the reason he gave them the great 50-year celebration. That's the reason. It was a reminder to them and to us that Christ is our Sabbath. And the author of the Hebrews comes along and straightens it all out for us. But if you look into the Old Testament, it was straightened out there too. Christ is our Sabbath. Here, Christ is the Sabbath. Since we are complete in him, we don't need the other stuff. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I have found, and forgive me if you don't agree, but I have found that if I'm traveling and there isn't a gospel church, I am better off sitting in my room, my motel room.
Amen.
Or going to look at the creek or the great Grand Canyon than to go and hear swill from a person that doesn't know the gospel. I just can't do it anymore. I cannot do it anymore. The last time I went to a church, it was the church that my wife grew up in, and the preacher got up and said, "This is how God answers prayer," and he flipped a coin and put it like that. I said, "That's it. Never again. I will not." I shouldn't have been there in the first place. But it was just one of those instances you said, "This is enough. This is enough." So, do what you feel like you have to do, but I am not. I'll go to the Grand Canyon and look at it. Think about my great God. But here in the book of Colossians, we find so often in the scripture that we are so complete in Christ. We're so complete. We are absolutely complete in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Take the time to read this whole chapter sometime. But these two verses here, we're just so complete. We have everything in him. We have everything. We don't need days. We don't honor days. We get together. I suppose it's probably more out of tradition than anything, but it's kind of a good tradition. We get together on the first day of the week, celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But like I said, we need to do that on Monday and Tuesday also. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Scriptures say here, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ."
Amen.
This is not where it is. Those guys down there in Babylonian captivity, I know there were a few that knew the gospel. There were three that I know of that knew. There was another one I know of. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They knew something about God. They knew something about Christ. They knew something about salvation. They knew something about regeneration. They knew something about the new birth. God had given it to them. He was the author and finisher of their faith. There's no doubt others in there, but the bunch of them had no knowledge whatsoever of Almighty God, and they were going through these forms and formalities on certain days of certain months, and we find that there's nothing there. There is nothing there. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day, which is just a shadow of good things to come. Now I ask this question, and this is the name of my lesson tonight. What makes a holy day? What makes a holy day? You know, that word has been corrupted to holiday. I like holidays. But what makes a holy day? Now, it doesn't because it's Sunday or Saturday make it a holy day. What makes it a holy day? Well, over in the book of Nehemiah, we are told this is a holy day. Now, notice what happened on this day. If you turn with me to the book of Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Here is the sum and substance of a holy day. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, Nehemiah chapter 8, we have the sum and the substance of a holy day. Chapter 8. Now, this is some real good reading. This passage of scripture was pointed out to me when I came to the Dalles to be pastor. This first verse, verse 8. I think it's verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God, the word of God. They read it. And how did they do it? Distinctly. And gave a sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now that's the three things that a person in the pulpit has a responsibility to do. Connect it to Christ as soon as you can. Look to Christ as soon as you can. Go to Christ as soon as you can. They read in the book of the Word of God. That's what that word law means there. Now, if we just want to settle it down to the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy, the same thing is true. Look and find Christ. All right? This is what we're to do. Read in the book. And then in verse 9, and Nehemiah, which is the Tereshetha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, now notice this, in the reading of the word of God, this day is holy. Did you know that this is a holy day? When we read God's word, it's a holy day. It's not holy in the sense that most people look at it, but it's a day that we honor God by reading His Word. You take this Bible down in your own private home and open it up and read the Word of God, you have a holy day. This is a holy book about a holy God has holy salvation, and that's a holy day. We don't need a day. Don't, as we read over there in Colossians, don't let anybody rob you of the completeness in Christ by imposing days and hours and moons and so forth and so on. Amen. Don't do that. Don't allow that to happen. That's nothing more than idolatry. Worshiping a day is idolatry. It's pure and simple idolatry. So here he said, this is a holy day unto the Lord. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And then in verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink. What in the world? Read the word of God and rejoice. Go your way, eat the fat. That was considered the best. And drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So, when the word is read, whether we read it to ourselves, whether someone else reads it to us, whether we read it in a service, whether it's in a Bible class, whether it's in a service like this, whether it's wherever it is, whether it's in a conference, wherever it is, that turns that day into a holy day. We have the privilege of hearing the glorious gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was just reading a tract by Brother Henry, what it is to preach the gospel. I wish I could remember all 5 points, but the number one is tell about, honestly about God. Be honest about Christ and be honest about man. You say those three things. God is a great God, a sovereign God, a merciful God. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He will save his people from their sins. And mankind is without hope, without Christ. So we have a holy day, a day of worship, a day when the word is read. It isn't because we're celebrating the burning of the temple. It isn't because things are going bad or good. A holy day is when we worship the King, when the word is read and we worship the King. Turn with me, if you would, over here in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts. I just made a note here that 62 times in the book of Numbers, and we're in the book of Numbers for some time, but 62 times alone it is recorded, the Lord spoke. And that's the sum and substance of the whole Bible. The Lord spoke. Well, let's go over here to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. As we think about this day that we heard the gospel. I was talking to a young man today and he said, well, when were you saved? And I said, I can only tell you this. After I heard the gospel. I don't know what day. I don't know. And it wasn't a slap of lightning. It was, I knew something about Jesus Christ that I never knew before. I had an honor of God that I never had before. I had an honor about his word that I never knew before. And sin was something that I never understood like I understood now. And grace was the same way. I told a man after that whole thing happened, I don't know all about it, but I know more about grace now than I've never known in my life. That God would save sinners. That is glorious. That was a holy day. All right, here in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Look with me in Acts chapter 4 as we think about this time. The important times. What is the important thing? What makes a holy day? Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word. You know, that's a blessing. To have ears to hear. To be given ears to hear. That it's more than just words out of Genesis or Revelation. It's more than just history. It's more than just what we're used to. To have, howbeit, when many of them which heard the word. To hear the word. What's in the word? The message of Christ. The message of salvation. The message of what we are by nature. And the message of the only one that can take care of the problem. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word. And what happened here? Believed. Now, how did that happen? They had to have the new birth. There is no believing and then getting the new birth. The new birth procures that. We can only believe saving belief after we've been born again. I mean, I talk about saving with God's belief that is in something, someone. The number of the men was about 5,000. Now we think that would be a wonderful revival meeting. But you know what? I'm convinced that Philip had the same rejoicing over one. I was told today that the reason that the Ethiopian eunuch couldn't understand the book of Isaiah was he didn't know how to read Hebrew. And I said, are you kidding me? He had become a Jew. He could read that book better than we could. That's not the reason he couldn't understand it. It hadn't been revealed to him. All right, now, over in chapter 8. chapter 8 of the book of Acts. In chapter 8, verse 14. As those whole host are gathered there in the book of Nehemiah, and they read the word of God and the effect of the word of God on those folks. And then those guys up there says, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Well, it's kind of like what Christ said to his disciples, rejoice that your names are written down in heaven. Well, here in the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 14, the scripture says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, the word of God became important. There are some folks over there in Samaria had received the word of God. What is he talking about? Some Gentiles had received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands of the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. So we know something has taken place here, and this guy was willing to pay money for it. But the people, these people in Samaria had received the word of God. What did they have? They had a holy day. This was a great day, a better day than they'd ever had in their life to hear, with ears to hear. With ears to hear the word of God. A little further in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. As we think about throughout the Old Testament, how many times the Lord spake, just in the book of Numbers, the book of Zechariah, the Lord of hosts spake. How many times the Lord spoke through all of those books in the Old Testament, how often he spoke in the New Testament. The Lord spake. This is his word. This is his word to us. And yet, to our natural ears, it's no wonder that in colleges, the Bible is studied as literature. Because to most people, that is all it is literature. And to the church, it is the message of Christ. To natural man, it means very little. To the believer, it tells us of the one who saved us from our sins. Acts chapter 11, verse 1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Now, what did they receive before? All kinds of nonsense. All we have to do is read a little history, and we know the nonsense that people have picked up over the years. All we have to do is go visit some places, historical sites, and see what they worshipped. But these folks who are accustomed to worshiping these kind of idols, whatever they were, these folks received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. Of course, what else do you expect when people who don't believe the word of God hear about people believing the word of God? There's going to be a controversy here. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the people that followed Paul wherever he went and said, what he had to say is up to a point, but you need the rest of it. And that's what Paul wrote in almost every one of his books. We're complete in Christ. We're complete in Christ. Well, this wonderful verse in chapter 13 and verse 48, Acts chapter 13 and verse 48, don't get hung up on the days of the burning of the tabernacle or the temple. Don't get hung up on celebrating the death of some viceroy of Nebuchadnezzar. All you were doing it was for yourself anyway. Your self-pity, your self-religion, whatever it was. The truth of the matter is it is the word of God. And he to whomsoever he should reveal the word of God, the Lord Jesus. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. All right. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Every time I read this, I'm just thrilled. It's just a thrilling verse of Scripture. Amen. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture, just like the rest of it is. But look at this. Now, chapter 13, there in verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. That's a good word. That's a saving word. That's a holy word. That's the word of God. That's not some hocus pocus. That's not some history lesson. It's the word of God. And it says here, the only reason that they could believe, even after hearing this glorious word of God, and as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. God is the first cause of all true belief. He's the first cause of all true repentance. He's the first cause of all the new birth. He's the first cause of all salvation. He's the first cause of giving all his word. So here we rejoice with a group of Gentiles, just like happened when you were saved. They that were ordained to eternal life believed. They heard the word of life, the word of the Lord. And then if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, we have this. Don't get hung up on days or moons. Don't get hung up on fasting because the temple was burned out. Or, you know, today they're almost fasting because they want the temple rebuilt and animal sacrifices to be started over. What? I don't understand how anybody would think that God would be pleased with that when he sent his son to the cross. But here in Acts chapter 19, and there in verse 10, it says, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. We have somebody there preaching for a period of 2 years, and what did he preach? The word of the Lord Jesus to the Jews and to the Greeks. That's what he preached. He didn't preach politics. He didn't preach sentimentalism. He didn't preach the law. He didn't preach progressive sanctification. He didn't preach any of that stuff. He preached Christ and him crucified. And what does it say there? Those that dwelled in Asia, and this is Turkey or Asia Minor, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So we have the same is for both Jews and Gentiles. Same message for old and young. Same message for bond and free. Same message for male and female. Same message, the message of Christ. So over here in the book of Zechariah, we have a preacher of righteousness preaching the gospel to some folks, and he's just reminding them that what you've been hanging on to, what you've been spending your time with for 70 years, appears only to be for your own benefit, for your own belly. That's all it appears to be. And he was honest when he said that. There in the book of Zechariah, it says, there in verse 6, or verse 5 and 6, speak unto all the people of the land, to the priests, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th month, even those 70 years. Well, folks, it's the 5th month of the 55th year. Let's do it again. And it just become rote. Just become a zero. And then it says there, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when you did eat and when you did drink, did you just eat to yourselves and drink to yourselves? Should you not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets? When Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, and when men inhabited the south and the plain, when things were going good in your eyes, and the prophet came along and says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Lest God grant you hearing, You're going to spend your time here and then 70 years in Babylonian captivity. So what makes a holy day? The Word of God. The Word of God. For the mind.